Thank you for downloading the Risk Assessment Podcast. I'm your host, Sharif Risk. This week, we look at the contentious issue of building churches in Egypt. For centuries, Egypt's laws have restricted the building and repairs of churches to such an incredible extent that until 2005, Egyptian churches were required to get the approval of the Egyptian president to fix even a broken toilet. At the heart of this archaic mode of thinking is an Ottoman law from 1856 known as the Hemayuni Decree, which was written when Egypt was still under rule of Ottoman Turks. The decree governs the construction and maintenance of Egyptian churches and has been known to complicate the issuance of building and repair permits for centuries. Coptic Christians have long complained that this law is discriminatory for obvious reasons. The long delay that one can expect to face until an approval is given makes the building and repair of any church in Egypt a major accomplishment. But even more importantly is the fact that no such regulation exists for the building and repair of Egyptian mosques. This outdated law has several other requirements as well. In addition to requiring presidential approval, churches must prove that the churches are maintaining a distance of 100 meters from every mosque, that Muslim locals approve the building of churches in any Muslim-dominated regions, that proof of the number of Christians in said construction site be verified, and that the Ministry of Irrigation and/or Railroad Authority provide explicit permission for churches being constructed in proximity to railroads, bridges, and/or public utilities. It's important to note, however, that there have been some modifications to this law in recent years. In 1999, President Hosni Mubarak issued Presidential Decree No. 453 that made the repairs of all houses of worship subject to a 1976 civil construction code. Despite this, however, the law was still being applied very narrowly against Coptic Christians, and they continued to face many obstacles for getting even the most simple repairs done. In 2005, President Mubarak issued Presidential Decree No. 291, which cancelled the previous decree of 1999, and returned the law to its previous state, only changing the fact that Egyptian governors can now issue the necessary permits for churches instead of requiring presidential approval. The decree required that the governors approve any requests presented by churches and would have to provide reasons why a particular request was denied. However, the problem still persisted, and Egyptian Christians have continued to limp on in uncertainty about the legality of their churches ever since. It is in this context that we see many Egyptian Christians, whether Orthodox or otherwise, being arrested by the police for conducting church services in an unauthorized place, such as a church without a permit or an individual worshipper's home. Of course, this also leads to sectarian tensions between Egyptians, especially those living in the regions of Upper Egypt. Over the years, we have heard numerous occasions of Christian churches, homes, and businesses being attacked in those areas, sometimes even by the police forces themselves, in an effort to stop this allegedly illegal activity from carrying on. The promise of reform in this area of Egyptian law came after the 2014 constitution was drafted and approved. Under the new constitution, which makes several explicit references to the presence of Christianity in Egypt, for example, the fact that the Holy Family visited and lived in Egypt, and that the Christian Church presented numerous martyrs over the years, Christians and Jews have the right to follow their religious laws that regulate their personal and religious affairs, and the right to select their own religious leaders. It states that freedom of religion is absolute, however, it only limits the public practice of religion and building houses of worship only to Christians, Jews, and Muslims. However, the concern remains, will these laws be effective in protecting Egypt's Christians? Will they help prevent further attacks and discriminations against Christians in Egypt? And if the Egyptian Christians continue to face discrimination under this new era, what else can they do to overcome this? Mr. Sharif Mansour, the head of Copts United, is not very optimistic about the future of Christian rights in Egypt.
I think the problem reside on the not just only the political will of the government of the day, but it's the general atmosphere of the the general population. People are not ready to accept something that they've been raised and on believing that the Christians or non-Muslims in general are infidels and they have no rights. There is one item or if you say category or it says the Sharia law supersedes everything. So when it comes to Sharia, Sharia is racist law. It's only one way law that favored the Muslims over any other non-Muslim. So when I say non-Muslim, I don't have to say Christians or so everybody. Everybody is on the other side.
He also says that the core of the problem is the country's controversial acceptance of Article 2 of the Egyptian Constitution, the one that adopts Sharia law as the primary source of legislation.
You can tailor the Sharia law the way you want, the time you want. It depends on the day. It's not something that's robust that you say 1 + 1 = 2. In Sharia law, let's put it that way, just to make it known to the listeners. Sharia law can make 1 + 1 = 10. Or under circumstances could be 7, could be 8, could be anything. Sharia law is interpreted by the current clerks, teachings of, like, say, Hanbal of Ibn Hamza or this, is the one to be applied. So I will apply whatever I like at the time I like to whom I don't like. Mm-hmm. So basically, there's no law. The law is in the hands of who interpreted the law against non-Muslims. Mm-hmm. That's basically what it is.
Although the law in Egypt about the building and repair of churches is complicated, one has to remember that it's not supposed to be a simple and quick process. Even in the most advanced democracies, the laws surrounding the building and repairs of any building, whether it's a church or not, takes a long time and can also be frustrating. For example, looking at the laws in the city of Ottawa, the national capital of Canada, you'll see that the issuance of a permit depends on whether the construction, repair, or renovation will be considered a minor or major rezoning. The permit is given based on the nature of the work being done and looks at what is being done to the building. This is because the city has an interest in keeping buildings under the purpose for which they are designated. For example, if a house is having some renovations done that would make it into a business, this might be considered a major renovation that is inconsistent with the city's interest in keeping that land a residential home. As for the churches in Ottawa, any renovation or construction done on the church building looks at whether this work will meet the necessary provincial policy statements, provincial plans, or the City of Ottawa official plan. All of these plans are aimed at keeping the city's infrastructure and growth on track to meet certain goals. If one thing is certain, there is no such plan for the growth and infrastructure of Egypt. And even if there is a plan, it's clear that whoever drafted it is not interested in making Christian Egyptians part of that growth and infrastructure.
The pessimism of many Coptic Christians on this topic is evident, and one gets a sense that they have learned not to get their hopes up. For many Coptic Christians living abroad, the writing has been on the wall for decades. Egypt is becoming an Islamic country that is slowly trying to get rid of its Christian roots. This pessimism rings true in the haunting last words that Mr. Mansour left me with during our brief interview.
It's always been a wave of ups and downs. Ups and good times, bad and good times, and each and every time there has its own ups and downs. So I don't think we will reach a point the international laws will be applied in Egypt soon. So don't put your hopes up. I think it's going to take long time. Maybe when you are going to be a grandfather, I think it might be, and it's not true.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced by Sharif Risk for the Risk Assessment.
You're listening to the newly launched Risk Assessment podcast. If you like what you hear, visit our website and Facebook fan page for more content. Check out our videos on YouTube to see exclusive interviews and content, and to get the latest developments from Egypt and around the world. The Risk Assessment is broadcasted weekly on CYC, Christian Youth Channel.